outside the Word of God is temporary. You can stand on it for a moment, but it's going to sink. Stand on the Word of God, amen? Stand on the Word of God. Let the hand of God uphold you. Let the hand of your God move. Do not be fearful. Has He not warned us? Has He not told us these things would take place? Has He told you the end of the book before we got to it? Has He shared you the victory? Has He not? Yes, amen. Be joyful, uplifted. These are the days that the prophets wrote about. These are the times that Jesus Himself penned. And here we are. Yes, rejoice. It's kind of like sitting in the movie theater and you smell the popcorn cooking. You know, before long, boy, you're going to get a sample of how sweet that is. That's where we're at. It says, encourage one another. Uphold one another. Watch out for one another. Of course, he says, the truth will do what to you? Set you free. And you have the truth in front of you in your Bible. You have the Spirit of God in you. And my spirit is being confirmed more and more every day. You get excited. Do I like what I see? I don't like it. But I'm encouraged by it. Kind of like see pain and suffering. But the devil, the father of lies, brought that upon this nation. But Elohim. Some people look at God and think what a weak God He is. Look what His children go through. What kind of God is He? But they don't know that He's a loving, caring God. That His love is greater than all. And His desire that not one person would perish, but people have their own decisions to make, their own free will. The line's been drawn. And Elohim is stepping down. I mean not down from the throne. He's stepping in. Great patience the Lord has, but His patience is wearing thin for those who reject Him, those who want nothing to do with Him, those who have sold themselves out to the evil one, those who made this decision, and even this day as you see things unfolding, refuse to repent, refuse to turn to Him, refuse to admit their sins. They reject God, and it comes a point in time, there's nothing else that God can do, because He's done it all. But for those of us who have received, those of us who are walking in the light, walking in love, you will see, you will witness the hand of your God move in a way that you've never seen before. Amen. Amen. He is worthy to be praised, as we were singing earlier. He's going to move in such a way. But don't be fearful. Luke chapter 12, you have your Bible, you can turn there, I'm going to read it to you. Verse 1. It says, under these circumstances, after so many thousands of people had gathered together that they were stepping on one another, Jesus began saying to His disciples, first of all, He says, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. But there is nothing covered up that will not be revealed, and nothing hidden that will not be known. Amen? Yes. According to whatever has said in the dark will be heard in the light, and what you have whispered in the inner rooms will be proclaimed in the housetop. Now this is the word of the Lord. This is instructions to His people. Instructions to us. Now He says right here, He said again, He said, beware of the sins of the Pharisees. Beware of the lies of the Pharisees. Beware of the misleadings of the Pharisees. That there is nothing that's been covered up that will not be revealed. Nothing has been spoken that thou be shouted from the rooftop. Nothing. I ask you today, do you see that taking place today? Do you see God honoring His Word to us? Things have been done in the dark, hidden, for decades, undercover, to take down God and His country. Little secret things, little emails typed back and forth. You got to the point where even flaunting it. There used to be a show back in the 60s called The Untouchable. You can't do the stuff right out front. But God says, nothing that a man does in secret will not be brought out into the light. It'll be exposed. So when these events that you're living in today, rejoice. God's word is being lived. Amen. We all like to have things peaceful, don't we? We all wish that, you know, as soon as I get done preaching a 10-minute sermonette, we're going to go home and fry that chicken up, and we're going to turn on television, we're going to watch reruns of Andy Griffith, and the whole world is fine. But folks, that's not the way it is anymore. Understand that. You've been called. You've been called by the Creator to stand for Him, to intercede for Him, to tear down the walls of this darkness that's entrapping this world, not just for you, but for the generations that will be coming after you. We have been called for a time like this, and He's exposing to you and I all this stuff that's been going on. It's all one reason: to take down Elohim. They're coming after Jesus. They hate Jesus. They hate God. Want to stop it. Destroy Him. You think sooner or later they understand they cannot take down our God. But Satan is a father of lies. He's a father of distortion. He knows he's limited. But the people he controls, he wants to take them down. Why? Because they're made in the image of God. No doubt it breaks God's heart to see how they've been deceived, how they've been sold out. Everyone that's in hell breaks God's heart. But given a choice, and they choose. But like what Sister Penny said earlier, just sharing that word, take root. I'm going to continue in 12 for a second. Chapter 12. Verse 3, according to whatever you have said in the dark will be heard in the light, and what you have whispered in the inner rooms will be proclaimed on the housetops. I love that word house. Reminds me of the Senate house. It reminds me of laptops that come up missing. Probably email servers have been, Verse 4, now I say to you, Jesus is talking to you right now. My friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body, and after that have nothing more that they can do. But I will warn you whom to fear. Fear the one who, after he has killed someone, has the power to throw that person to hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him. Are 5 sparrows not sold for 2? And yet not one of them has gone unnoticed in the sight of God. But even the hairs of your head are all counted. Do not fear, you are more valuable than a great number of sparrows. So don't fear the one that can kill this body. Standing here with you today as a born-again believer, follower of Jesus Christ. Kill my body? What happens to me? Amen. Standing before you today as a non-believer? You kill my body? Where do I go? The white throne judgment. For the one who can cast me in the in the fires of eternal damnation. So do I want to live today to the pleasure of today and go to hell tomorrow? Or do I want to live my life eternally with the Lord? With the Lord. So who are we going to fear? God. You're right, Penny. We won't fear anybody on earth but God. Amen. Who are we going to honor? God. How many trust the Lord? You trust Him everything? Do you truly believe He's got you in the palm of His hand, that He knows the number of the hairs on your head, He knows your name, He knows you tomorrow, the next day, the next day? How many believe that He really wants you to prosper? And I'm not talking about the financial part, everything. How many believe that Satan come to steal, kill, and destroy, but Christ come to give you life, give it more abundantly? Woo-hoo! Yes, yes. Amen. Do not fear, God says. Do not fear. You've called upon Him. You bow down to Him. You repented of your sins. He's honoring His covenant. I can stand here today and tell you exactly how I want God to do that. How do I want Him to do it? Well, I'm going to wake up tomorrow morning and everything will be peaceful. He's going to take His hand and just move it like this. And there'll be peace over the nation again. That's what I want. My wife and I get in an argument. I just want peace in the household. I want to quit yelling at me, right? And that's the problem. We gotta watch out for. I don't want my wife to quit yelling at me. I want to resolve the conflict. Because she'd be real nice to me inside of her. She said, "Oh man, how could you say that? How could you do that?" Every one of us here would love to have peace in the United States, peace in the world. But peace without freedom is worthless. Too many years, the evil rising up against God's people had been silent, slowly building, slowly building, slowly building this takeover. And praise God that as we were woken up and the cards being laid on the table, we recognized the game that we were playing. So we turned our heart over to God and we repented and called upon Him. And now this very day, He's showing us the evil that exists. Not just in America, but around the world. It's a global attack. But trust God. Now folks, some things will be taking place, I believe, in these next 10 days will be like you've never seen before. Carol, you and Tim the other day, you had an alarm going off town. You had a problem with the carbon monoxide, and Tim, the alarm was bad, right? But at least the alarm going off told you that the alarm was bad. Very thankful. Now you got a new alarm in there, and good. From our pulpit here for the last several years, God is preparing us for the day that we're entering. Not to be surprised, but the day will be coming. I don't know. I don't have a magic ball about tomorrow or the next day. I know a couple of things, and you all know a couple of things, no doubt. Some of you aren't very advanced in technology, so what I might say you won't quite understand, but there are things out there today called Twitter. Communications. You talk to millions and millions of people just going, oh, that's my phone supposed to be. Okay? You have Google, email, all kind of stuff. All type of media to talk with. Well, this past Wednesday, if you all noticed, maybe you've seen stuff going on in the Capitol building. They went in there to certify the Electoral College. And many some people gathered there to support our Constitution, which is designed by God. Or we allow God, we use God to design our Constitution, put it that way. Okay? And we saw the terrorist group enter the Capitol building, disguised as supporters of our Constitution. I don't know if you guys saw that or not. And they're blaming the President of these United States of America for that. Since then, they've shut down the most powerful man in the world accounts to contact his people. Facebook, Twitter, all that stuff. And they're coming after conservatives and Christians to silence our means of communication. And as the days continue, there'll be more and more things shut down. I don't want to, not here to scare you, just let you know these things will take place. It appears to be that if you operate with debit cards or credit cards, they're going to be alienated for a few days. Anybody here in the military? Been in the military? Law enforcement? Anybody ever take an oath to defend this country? You still on that oath? Okay. So I just want to share this. That our President of the United States of America, Donald Trump, he took an oath when he was sworn into office. And that oath, part of it was to uphold the Constitution of the United States of America and defend her from all enemies, foreign and domestic. That's his oath, understand? He took an oath. And I've never seen a president more in my lifetime that ever stood up for the oath that he took in office. If he does not stand up for the oath he took, it's treason on his part. I know our president pretty well, like you all do. We all follow him. So I believe in the days coming, you will see the president act upon the oath that he took. Just give me a warning up front, okay, guys? Again, I'm not here to cause you to be fearful because, man, we have no fear. We follow God. We have a very good chance of seeing Insurrection Act, martial law. You have a very good possibility of seeing high-profile people getting arrested. It's not going to be pretty. Understand. What has taken place in our country, coming against God. I mean, we're talking about socialism, Marxism, communism. All of them hate God. Understand? They hate God, so they hate you because we worship Him. So I believe it's going to be a no bars hold is going to take place. But we serve an awesome God. We cried out to Him to heal our land. We repented of our sins, and God heard that. But He's exposing the ugliness to us. But stay fast. But be prepared. Make sure you have items in your home, like I said before, that you can go a few days. I've never seen something so massive. I've seen organized crime in my time, but I could never ever imagine the globalness of this. But our God reigns. Understand that. He's just showing to us. I think one thing He's showing to us is that look what has happened when we compromised a little bit years back on sin. It's a little thing. Wow. If we knew then what we knew now, look at the difference we would have made in selecting our leaders. We would have prayed more. Seek God more. We wouldn't have been so personally involved that what's best for me, what's best for God. I think it's no different than myself. I can go back in the day before I knew Jesus. If I knew then what I know now, my whole entire life been totally different. I believe all God's mercy and His love. See, I ain't done yet, guys. But this is what's taking place. You call upon me, here I am. Don't be afraid to weather a few things He's saying. He wants to root it out. He ain't here to bring us peace. He's here to bring us deliverance. Then that peace will follow. Amen. I know we all go through different scenarios how we would have handled things. We were God. I've done this. But God knows exactly what He's doing. We got to trust in Him. Trust Him. And be excited that your God hears you. He does. And we're not alone. But look what He's exposed just in the last week or so. Some that we thought was standing. Well, why? What's the big deal? You realize that, I'll tell you how long this has been going on. To date, I don't know the exact numbers. There's been over 60 million babies wiped out. The population of the United States wiped out. Because the enemy knows it's easier to kill a kid than it is an adult. $60 million plus. Same thing took this. That's new. You all know a guy named Moses? Heard of him, right? When he was born, same thing. The population was growing so much, they were scared that the Hebrews would take over, so they killed the kids, went in and wiped out the generations. That's how Moses got in the basket, floating down the Nile. So what's the best way of destroying a country is going after the youth? Destroy them. Some they have destroyed in the womb. Others they destroyed in the homes, in the minds. The rotten, stinking thinking. Games that they play show that life is not important. That's the ugliness of Satan. Amen. Amen. The farther you're away from Jesus, the value of life is diminished. So this has been going on for quite some time. And a harsh cry has been out there, Lord, more and more, God, help us turn things around. Help us turn things around. It's okay, I'm going to turn things around. I've got to expose some things to you. I mean, can you imagine if the lights were off right now and Tim kept getting slapped in the face? Boom. 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 Oh, man. Man, turn the lights on. I'm going to see who's doing it. Turn the lights on. He has no idea who's doing it. Lights go back out. Boom, boom. It wouldn't be until the person slapping you is exposed and removed. The light can come on, and if what has been illuminated is not removed, it can be idle. It's going to wait for another time. And I just pray that the hearts of God's people are, yes, God, we repent that we are done with these things in the world. It's lust of the flesh. Are we concerned for the next generation that may follow us? Yes, we are. Are we willing to sacrifice the pleasures that we have right now for the next generation? I mean, what I'm saying by that, a lot of things that you have right now that you entertain yourself with is controlled by the devil. Understand, I don't care what name it is. It's being pushed by Satan. That's okay. I'll remove this. We have to make sure God moves in our behalf that we don't become like the Israelites. Like Moses' people. I mean, look. In a nutshell, Joseph. If you all remember the stories on Joseph. Man, what a blessing he was. And people prospered. And even the enemy prospered. Wow. Then as time went on, they forgot which hand was feeding them. It was God Almighty taking their own credit. Then they find themselves in captivity. 400 years, oh Lord, Lord. God hears their cries. All right, well, let's do something. Raise up Moses. And look how they started to bellyache from Moses. He chose you? You? To lead us? But then, as time went on, they recognized, yes, God was moving through Moses. Things got harder for a while. Remember that? That you could find their own straw and make their own bricks with? That's great. It'd be like saying, oh, we got Bob Clark here, their union boss now. Ever since he's our union boss, we got to do more work for less pay. But as time went on, they started recognizing the power of God. That is your God. You understand that? That is your God acting in the book of Exodus. Understand that. So finally they got to the point, boom, they're leaving. Yes! And man, guys, they took gold, silver, they packed up food, everything, and they just took off a walk. And did they not? Woo, we're free at last. Wow, thank you, Lord. Boom. I'll make a couple different turns here and there, and God said, hey, I want you to go this way. The next thing, where you do, you find them where at? By the Red Sea, don't you? They get there, oh. And they start complaining right away. Did God say he's going to deliver them? Yes, yes. You think that Red Sea is anything to him? No. But they start complaining right away. Man, we should at least stay back in Egypt. What's the matter? Not enough graves out here? He brings out here Moses complaining. Oh my. For a moment, they had their eyes on Moses and not God. See, Moses was just an instrument God was using. And it's so easy to get wrapped up like that. I mean, if you guys ever watch any sports, you get wrapped up on the quarterback. You think he is the star of the game, where really it's this tackle over here is doing all the work, blocking for him, you know? But their eyes were on Moses. Oh, Moses, will you do this? Even they're complaining. God says, no, I'll keep my word. I said I'm going to deliver you. How easy it been for God to say, okay, hey, you're going to complain about it? I'll leave you there. But you know why God didn't? Because he's covenant. So this is what I'm going to do. So he had Moses raise the staff. And that thing that was blocking, that thing that was, really was a death sentence to him, because here comes the Egyptians coming after him now. They woke up, wait a second. What do we do? What? How quickly they forgot the hand of God that moved. They started coming after him. Red Sea parted. God's people crossed over. And that thing that was blocking them is now going to be one of the greatest weapons in their hands. In God's hands. Because here comes the enemy coming after them. And they enter the same dry land that they walked across. And the waters collapsed and killed them. And the Bible says 600 of the best chariots plus other ones was coming after them. I wonder, as they were going across the Red Sea, this is me thinking, they saw their chariots coming. Did they get fearful, scared? Oh my land, here we go. I mean, when you watch the movies, they're all dancing, you know, and which would be an awesome thing. But as you get on the other side, you look back, oh, here they come. Oh, here we go again. Did any of them start complaining then? We should be at the point, okay, God, how are you going to handle this one? Amen? Don't know how you're going to do it. I mean, they saw the ground dried, and they crossed over, then the enemy must be crossing the same thing. But God had a different plan. He scorched them. Drowned them. Eliminated the enemy. Done. Did God take joy in destroying the Israelites or the Egyptians? No. But they made their choice. And when their choices interfere with God's plan, and they continue them choices, they're on their own. What a remarkable story, is it not? Truth. I, in my spirit, I feel that we are getting ready, we're crossing the Red Sea. Now, to cross that Red Sea, yield the warning of the Lord. Remember the thing that's taking place. Because the Israelites, they crossed it. Saw the hand of God move. Saw the plagues. On the way to the promised land. Goshen. They cross over to get up here. And just in a few days, a couple of days, they're complaining because all they have to eat is manna. Manna. It's an 11-day journey, they say, from the time they crossed, or the time they left Egypt, to get to the promised land. 11 days! Wouldn't you think manna would be good enough instead of being in captivity? Being slaves? May we not forget and learn from what their mistake to be appreciative. We want deliverance. God's bringing us deliverance. We want to be able to publicly proclaim Jesus Christ, the Messiah, that He is the way, the truth, and the life. Is that enough bread and drink for us to survive on? Wouldn't a piece of bread and water be good enough? Because, hey, a day is coming, I won't have to eat. I believe in heaven you get to eat, but you don't have to eat. So may we learn from that, brothers and sisters, as God delivers us. See, honors His covenant. That we don't so quickly forget what He delivers from. Maybe it'd be well if you would take a notebook and write down all the things that's breaking your heart today, all the things that's coming out. All the things that's against God. That here in America, that we allowed to take place because we turned our backs on and because we were fearful. The things that we compromise on because we wanted a status here, a status there, or we want to be on this team or that team, or invited to this party, or whatever it is. Just that we will learn not to turn back that way. Then maybe we have the boldness and the guts to teach our children and our grandchildren and our great-grandchildren on down the line what happens when a person turns their back on God. And we share God's love. He's love, He's merciful, but He is Elohim. He is God. One scripture in Exodus I want to share with you. Exodus chapter 14, verse 31. When Israel saw the great power which the Lord had used against the Egyptians, the people feared the Lord, and they believed in the Lord and in His servant Moses. When And they saw the great power of the Lord. May we have that same fear. Fear of respect. Never want anybody to be scared of God. You're His children. But there has to be something there. I love my father, my mother. But that right hand of power he had that met my hind end a couple of times, I didn't want that. Okay, I was fearful of that. Still loved him. But I didn't want his wrath upon me. And when it came upon me, I couldn't blame nobody but myself. But we need to get to the point when God says, thus says the Lord, that we tremble. This is the way we go, and there's nobody going to talk me out of it. But this is how we do it. Joshua said the best. You choose for yourself this day. But for me and my household, we shall serve the Lord. Do not waver from it. We are called to love our enemies, love one another. We show our love by living for Jesus. The power and principality behind the faces of evil in our country today, we can never forget who controls them and how do we fight them. On our knees in prayer, the Word of God speaking out. God is still delivering people. He's still bringing people from darkness into the light. Your prayers are still very powerful. The one today you're saying, well, there's probably no hope for. I'm telling you what, through our prayers, we give them hope, whether they want it or not, you know. God has a way of turning Sauls around to be Pauls all the time. And so we cannot forget that, and that has to be our heart. One more day, God, one more day, we can do this. But as God moves, and I can't tell you how He's going to do it, because I'm always wrong. But He's going to move. Don't tremble. Be prepared. Be ready to share that gospel. Amen? Amen. I love you guys. Man, I tell you what.